Hello everybody, it's Tanvir Shahzad from France, and before proceeding further I would like to acknowledge the contribution of my PhD advisors Sebastian Fontaine and Clark Chounou in this experiment and in this presentation. So this is the general layout of my presentation. So we directly move on to the first point. Why should we study the grasslands and its organic matter? Just because of the lot of functions they do. First, like they support livestock production systems over large range of climatic and soil conditions. And the grassland soils, they have the 15 to 20% of global terrestrial carbon budget, 8 to 20% of terrestrial surface area. And the organic carbon sequestration potential, which is still to be realized yet, it is estimated at 0.01 to 0.3 gigatons by different authors. And it is an important house for above ground and below ground biodiversity. So before I proceed for my hypothesis and actual experiment, I will just define two terms that I will be using recurringly in this presentation. First is rhizodeposition. Anything that plants, they contribute to the soil, anything that is organic, I will define that as rhizodeposition. That may be exudates, mucilages, broken cells, or dead roots, whatever. And second is the priming effect. The acceleration of soil organic carbon mineralization due to the supply of fresh organic carbon is considered as priming effect. And if the organic carbon supply is coming from a living rhizosphere, then it will be called as rhizosphere priming effect. So the principal component of the grasslands are, of course, the plants. And the different plant species, they have the different adaptive strategies. What I mean that they have the different photosynthetic rates and the different root and shoot carbon partitioning patterns. And thus they have the different rates of rhizodeposition when they are growing. And of course, this rhizodeposition vary in quality as well for each species. While on the nitrogen side, different plant species, they have the different nitrogen uptake rates and the different capabilities of conserving this nitrogen for a certain period of time in their living biomass. And also the different plant species, they have the different competing abilities for nitrogen with the microbes. So this deposition of carbon into the soil and uptake of nitrogen from the soil by different species will engender the different amounts of priming effect for each species. So the soil selected for this experiment was taken from a temperate prairie of central France. It's a well-drained Cambisol of pH 6, soil organic carbon content at 32 gram per kilogram, and it was well sieved at 5 millimeter before putting into the pots. And 7 monocultures of 7 different species were established, and an unplanted control soil was also placed. And these species were selected because they are present abundantly, or they are the major components of this temperate prairie of France. So I just named these species Trizetium flavescens, Poitrie VLS, Lolium pyrene, Festucaron dinasti, Brachypodium pinnatum, Bromus erectus, and Trifolium repens. And among the gramineae species, all the first 6, from bottom to top, they have an increasing gradient of exploitative strategy. And this strategy leads me to define further precisely my hypothesis. Actually, we have 3 sets of species, exploitative, conservatories, and leguminous. One legume, in fact. And exploitative, they will have, hypothetically, they will deposit important amounts of rhizodeposit into the soil, and this rhizodeposition will be of good quality. Thus, they will induce strong priming effect initially. And also rapid nitrogen uptake and its quick return via their litter will interplay to determine the strength of priming effect. On the other hand, for the conservatories, Initially, they will not deposit important amounts of rhizo deposits, and that will be of poor quality. That means lots of lignin is to be there, and they suggest a weak priming effect initially. But on the nitrogen side, if they uptake nitrogen and they conserve it for longer periods of time into their living biomass, they may encourage the priming effect. Whereas legume also will deposit important amounts of organic matter into the soil that suggests a strong priming effect. But as being legume, it will fix important amounts of nitrogen as well, and its potential possible transfer to the soil may cut down the activity of soil carbon mining microbes. So in sum total, the purpose is to establish the net carbon balance for each species, and which will be controlled by the net nitrogen balance that will be imposed by each of these species into the soil. So all of these monocultures were placed in a continuous 13C labeling system, where ambient air is completely decarbonized and enriched with 13C poor carbon dioxide before being introduced into the mesocosm. The concentration of carbon dioxide was kept at 400 plus minus 20 ppm, and this experiment has already run for 18 months. So the principal measure for my experiment is the respiration measure. And there, how do I do that? I've constructed the PVC tubes, I call them respiration chambers, and I put whole plant pots into them along with a certain quantity of caustic soda. And I sealed that respiration chamber for 24 hours and placed into a dark place. And the amount of carbon dioxide that is captured into this caustic soda is then analyzed by an elemental analyzer for total amount of inorganic carbon. And then the carbonates, they are precipitated and then passed through the mass spectrometer to distinguish two different sources of carbon, that is plant and the soil. So let's move on to the results, which unfortunately I don't have any, and or whatever I have is very interesting for me at least. Let's see what you say about this. So here I present the SOC mineralized per kilogram of soil per day by each species at different points of measure. As you see that all of the plants, they are accelerating the soil organic carbon mineralization throughout the measurement time, and the gramineae, they have the tendency to accelerate twice the SOC mineralization as compared to the unplanted controls, at least for this half period, first half part of the graph. And among themselves, the gramineae, they have the tendency to produce almost the same amounts of SOC mineralization at every point of the measure. But the surprising result of this experiment is the SOC mineralization which was induced by the legume crop. And here we see that the legume is producing three times and even sometimes at some point four times the amount of SOC mineralization as compared to the unplanted control soil. And this is apparently a contradiction to our hypothesis, where we have said that the legume, they will fix important amounts of nitrogen, and thus they will discourage the activity of SOC mining microbes, and thus they will decrease the amounts of SOC mineralization. So to find a possible answer to this finding, I just calculated a ratio of soil-derived carbon to the plant-derived carbon. And here we see that all of the gramineae, they are producing almost 3 to 4 times the SOC mineralization per unit of plant-derived carbon as compared to the legume crop. Or we can say that the legume, quantitatively, we say that legume is mineralizing 0.3 units of soil carbon per unit of plant carbon whereas the closest candidate is producing 0.8 units of soil mineralization over per unit of plant carbon. So here we see that the legume is keeping its promise of lowering down the soil mineralization by its nitrogen fixation. I conclude my talk on the following notes. This study shows the potential of different grassland species to induce the rhizosphere priming effect, and it suggests that Trifolium repens can induce long-term carbon accumulation in ecosystems by decreasing the microbial mining of nutrients. And there are still a whole lot of analysis is yet to be done on this experiment. And once these analyses are available, I hope that they may confirm as possible role of legumes in preserving and perhaps increasing the SOC quantities in soils. Thank you.
Do you have plans to look at other species and reasons to believe that you might see differences between the different species, especially in light of the fact that you might have differences in nitrogen fixation rate?
Okay. No, for the moment it's not planned yet, and I have taken just this legume species just because in our temperate prairie we have only this which is abundantly present, and so we just wanted to see the difference between the different gramineae species, and we compared it with a legume species to see how the mechanism of priming effect is being controlled by the different species.